Good morning. Thank you for being with us this morning again to the means of Facebook. We'll be speaking from the Gospel of 2 John, or I should say the Epistle of 2 John, and those here in the auditorium, please stand. 2 John, the second epistle of John. And in verse 1 it says, "The elder unto the elect lady and her children, whom I love in the truth, and not I only, but also all they that have known the truth. For the truth's sake which dwelleth in us, and shall be with us forever, grace be with you, mercy and peace, from God the Father, and from the Lord Jesus, the Son of the Father, in truth and in love. I rejoice greatly that I found of thy children walking in truth, that he have received a commandment from the Father. Now I beseech thee, lady, not as though I wrote a new commandment unto thee, but that which we had from the beginning, that we love one another, and this is love, that we walk after his commandments. This is the commandment that is heard from the beginning, you should walk in it." Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you again for your goodness and mercies, and we ask that you bless thy word this morning. And again, Lord, as we will be addressing the mothers, that you would encourage us and remind us of the importance of the aspect of the truth that our dear Apostle John deals with in this particular letter in addressing the elderly elect lady, Heavenly Father. And so, God, we look to you this morning, for we ask you in your blessed holy name. Amen. Please be seated. And this morning, I would have a different approach regarding Mother's Day. Instead of using an example like I love to do many times, like Sarah and Hannah and Rachel, even Jochebed, Moses' mother in the past, I want to concentrate more this morning on the importance of the truth and the love of the truth. Therefore, the title to my message is Mothers Who Love the Truth. Mothers Who Love the Truth. I have a 3-point outline, but before I share this, let me just say some things. I did struggle this week as to what to speak on. As a matter of fact, I was going to speak on Eve in the book of Genesis chapter 2 and entitled my message, "The Eve of Motherhood," since she was the first mother and all that. I just, for some reason, I could not get it all together, but somehow I found my heart attracted to 2 John 2. And as I look at other various mothers in the Bible, again, I was brought to 2 John. And I thought, this can be applied. Now, as I said earlier, before I share my 3-point outline, allow me just to say something first regarding this text. Plus, I do have a kind of lengthy introduction to this study this morning. But notice that this epistle is written from an elder. And of course, we know that that elder is none other than the Apostle John himself. But he wrote, notice carefully, to the elect lady and her children. To the elect lady and her children. And of course, the question is, who is this chosen elect lady and her children? Well, I give you two possibilities. One, it could represent symbolically the church and her members, which many interpret it that way, and I have in the past. And two, it could also represent an actual mother and her children. And I believe there's arguments on both sides of this, and so we can't be too dogmatic in either application. But this morning, I do want to apply it as being written to a mother. And I don't think it was John's mother, but I think it was a Christian mother who no doubt loved the truth. Now, again, to those who have a real strong proposition that this is written to a church, I still believe we can make good application for mothers that we can draw out of this text. Especially mothers who love the truth, and this is how we shall apply it this morning. Again, John wrote to a particular mother in another city who I believe was seeking to raise her children in the faith and in the truth of God's word. And therefore, this morning, as we address those of you who are mothers, and perhaps even those that might be mothers one day, I remind you that if you're outside the Lord Jesus Christ this morning, I pray that God might burn into your heart the need to see the Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, for He is the truth. And in doing so, you will come to a knowledge of the truth and see the importance of being a mother who loves the truth. Now, we're also given instruction by the Apostle John on the love and defense of the truth. But then, again, I believe gives us an example of motherhood, or for that matter, the importance of parents. And this is something that I believe that should be in the hearts of every mother and every father in Christ regarding their posterity. That is, that we would be rejoicing in finding that our children are walking in the truth, which he says very clearly in verse 4. My point is that true Christian parents should be concerned about their posterity. That is, the next generation, the second, third, and fourth generation, and that we will make an impact to our family. My wife and myself, and maybe some of you, we're first generation Christians. We don't know what it means to have a Christian mother and things like that. But since God saved us, we have prayed for our children, and we pray that God would take his truth to the second, third, and fourth generation of our children. And I believe this is biblical application, because if you recall, in the Decalogue, or in the Ten Commandments, in the Second Commandment, it says, I'll read it to you, in Exodus 20, it says, "For thou shalt not make unto thee any graven image, or any likeness of anything that is in heaven above, or that is in the earth beneath, that is in the water and the earth. Thou shalt not bow down thyself to them, nor serve them, for I, the Lord thy God, am a jealous God." This is what he said: "Visiting the iniquity of the fathers upon the children unto the third and fourth generation of them that hate me, and showing mercy to thousands of them that love me and keep my commandments." The application is simple. And I know I shared this before, but I want to make application again. It's real, real simple. And that is, if the sinful actions of the father affect the generation to the third, second, third, and fourth generation, I believe also that we can take from this that the spiritual actions of a father in the positive way can make an application, or can affect our posterity to the second, third, and fourth generation. I believe it works both ways. And to those of you, again, that named the name of Christ this morning, I believe that you would want the spiritual blessings of God upon our posterity, our descendants. You know, in Proverbs 3:33, it says very clearly, "The curse of the Lord is in the house of the wicked, but he blessed the house of the habitation." And that's what we want, that God bless our house, that he would bless our houses. Now, this is, I believe, what we can apply from 2 John, because the Apostle John writes to a particular mother, a mother who I believe is found to be walking in the truth. And we know in past sermons that there were also other mothers during the first century that were seeking to make an impact on their posterity. I don't know how many years ago, if you remember, I preached a sermon on 2 Timothy, in speaking of Timothy's grandmother and Timothy's mother. You know, the importance of that. In 2 Timothy 1:5, it says, "When I call to remembrance the unfeigned faith that is in thee, which first dwelt in thy grandmother Lois and thy mother Eunice, and have persuaded in thee also." And later on, Paul tells Timothy in 2 Timothy 3:15, "And that from a child thou hast known the Holy Scriptures, which are able to make thee wise unto salvation through faith, which is in Christ Jesus." In other words, they brought up Timothy in the faith and in the truth. And it was a blessing to both grandma and the mother that Timothy was what? Walking in the truth. And I believe what we see here in 2 John regarding the elect lady, or I should say the elect mother, we also see, I believe, the same heart and dedication as we would see in Lewis and Timothy, that they want their children to be walking in the truth. And we can perhaps say that, no doubt, Timothy was walking in the truth. Why? Because there was a time when his grandmother, Lois, became a follower of the Lord Jesus Christ, and she sought to raise up her children in the truth. And so she conveyed that to her daughter Lois, and then Lois did it also to Timothy. And we know that Timothy was a great follower of the Lord Jesus Christ, and that Paul held him in high esteem, and he wrote these two letters to Timothy. And it was all because of a woman who had an interest of conveying truth of God to her children. And I bid to remind you that she sought to raise her children in the ways of the Lord against the onslaught of the wickedness that had prevailed in the Roman Empire of her day. And I remind you also that in her day, they did not have the religious freedom that we have in our day. So, in application to that, how much more should Christians in our day that have advantage of religious freedom? You know, though, as we said last week, it is slipping away fast, but we still have it, and the importance of seeking to raise up our children in the way of the Lord established in His glorious truth. Now, again, regardless of the time period in which we live, we must give ourselves to raising our children in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. The raising of our children is, again, it's not the duty of the government. It is the duty, the given duty of God to parents. You know, Peter, again, when he was preaching there in Acts chapter 2, on the day of Pentecost, and we kind of spoke a little bit about this last week, but I'm going to read the whole context to you this time and make a little bit of application that I didn't have time last week. But Peter is preaching, and he says in Acts 2:37, "Now when they heard this, they were pricking their heart and said unto Peter and to the rest of the apostles, Men and brethren, what shall we do? Then Peter said unto them, Repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sin, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. For the promise is made unto you and to your children." I love that. "And to all that are far off, in as many as the Lord our God shall call." And with many other words did he testify, exhorting them, "Save yourself from this untoward generation," which we mentioned last week. I believe that the mother here, the elect mother of 2 John, along with Lois and Eunice, sought to raise their children in the Lord in that untoward generation in which they live. You know, the word untoward there in Acts 2:40 is the Greek word skolios, and you can hear the English word from that, because that word means crooked, bent, warped, perverse. And it's also used, again, in Philippians 2:15, where it says, "That you may be blameless and harmless, the Son of God, without rebuke, in the midst of a crooked and perverse nation," or an untoward generation, "among whom you shine as light in the world." But here we are again, 20 centuries later, and we must still raise our children in an untoward generation where we have political correctness redefining the biblical mandate of a marriage between a man and a woman, and so the importance of raising up our children in the ways of the Lord and in the truth. Now, in this 21st century, it is a necessity that godly mothers like Lois, Eunice, and the elect mother of 2 John to give themselves to the truth of the Scriptures, and that God would give them that conviction, you know, that they would raise their children for the glory of God. And so may God give mothers that conviction, that courage to raise their children in the truth, especially again in this untoward generation. And you might say, why are you so adamant about this? Joe, you said it last week and this week. Well, this is not for mothers, but also for fathers, the parents. It's real simple. If we do not raise our children in the ways of the Lord, guess what? Somebody else will raise your children in the ways of the world. Your children will either grow up with that biblical viewpoint of the truth, or your children will grow up with a worldview that is diametrically opposed to God and the Bible. One way or another, your children will be instructed, inculcated, and taught by either the truth of the Bible, by their parents, or the world. My dear one, please understand, there is no standing still. We cannot be neutral. There's no neutrality in this. I hope you see the importance as parents of raising your children in the truth. And I believe that the mother of 2 John understood in the time that she lived in that she had to do this. You know, remember the verses I read earlier from the Decalogue. I want to read there in Exodus 20, verse 5. It says, "Thou shalt not bow down thyself, nor serve them. For I, the Lord, am a jealous God, visiting the iniquity of the fathers upon the children unto the third and fourth generation of them that hate me." You know, I thought about that last phrase, "of them that hate me." Again, this world is diametrically opposed to the Bible and hates the things of God. And did we not see that last week when we dealt about blessed are those that are persecuted for Christ's sake? And thus, again, you see the importance of this. God help us in this 21st century, this untoward generation, this crooked and perverse generation that we live in, of the importance of instructing our children in the way of the Bible and in the way of truth. And mothers, you have an awesome responsibility. Not only that, but you also have a privilege given to you by God to raise your children under the auspices of His holy truth. Now, no doubt that 2 John also gives wonderful instruction. And again, John writes, as I said earlier, to an elect mother regarding this. The Apostle John seems to concentrate on two particular things in this epistle, on truth and love. Okay? And John knew that there were also going to be false teachers in his day going around teaching false doctrines. And so the responsibility for not only mother, for any believer, but of course for Christian mothers in particular who have their children at home and should raise them in the truth. And therefore the Christian mother must know the truth. The Christian mother must practice the truth. The Christian mother must guard the truth. And the Christian mother must teach this truth to her children. Three things I want to share with you this morning quickly. Sorry for the long introduction, but the three things I want to share with you from 2 John is, number one, the importance of a godly mother knowing the truth. Secondly, the importance of a godly mother walking in the truth. And then thirdly, the importance of a godly mother abiding in the truth. Again, in verses 1 to 3 of 2 John, it says, "The elder unto the elect lady and her children, whom I love in the truth, and not I only, but also all they that have known the truth, for the truth's sake, which dwelleth in us, and shall be with us forever. Grace be with you, mercy and peace from God the Father, and from the Lord Jesus Christ, the Son of the Father, in truth and love." And therefore, the importance of a godly mother knowing the truth. Notice that, again, the Apostle John says a few specific things, in particular three specific things about the truth of God. He says to the elect lady or the elect mother in verse 1, whom he says that he loves in the truth, and who have known the truth. But then in verse 2, he says that for the truth's sake which dwelleth in us forever. And so the importance of what? Of truth indwelling in us. But then in verse 3, he greets them in the truth. In other words, again, John writes regarding those who know the truth, the importance of knowing the truth and making application of that truth. Therefore, mothers, the first step in raising your children in the truth is to know the truth yourself. That is most important. You cannot raise your children in the truth if you don't know Him, Jesus Christ, who is the truth. Now, I think we can all agree that the lady whom John writes to is a believer in Christ. So that means that she is a mother, because it speaks there unto the elect lady and her children. And she had children. And that apparently she knew something of the truth of God. And so I love how John puts it. He calls her an elect lady, chosen by God. Not only does John call her an elect lady, but the fact that he says that he loved her in the truth. He says, "The elder unto the elect lady and her children, whom I love in the truth." And so John again sets forth the bond, I believe, between all believers whom we are to love in the truth. Because John not only addresses the elect lady, but all those who know the truth. In other words, you know, when we meet somebody for the first time and they profess to be a Christian and they know the truth as a believer, we are to love them. That there is that particular bond. And there should be a bond between all believers that's founded upon what? Upon the truth of God. And so, mothers, again, the application is clear. You cannot begin to teach your children to know the truth unless you know the truth yourself. And the question to you this morning, mothers, is, do you know Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior? Do you know Jesus Christ, who is the truth? Do you know Him? And this is where it all begins. It all begins with Jesus Christ. Who is the truth? In order to have what? Knowledge of the truth, to be able to be what? Walking in the truth. I love the last phrase of verse 1. He says, "But also all those that have known the truth," and therefore the importance of what? Of knowing the truth. Mothers, it is so important. And so mothers, you must convey this truth to your children, like the elect lady did, and also we saw earlier Eunice and Lois in 2 Timothy. But again, I love what it says there in 2 Timothy. It says in 2 Timothy 3:15, "And from a child that has known the Holy Scriptures," what a blessing, "which are able to make thee wise unto salvation through faith which is in Christ Jesus." And then after this, there's two blessed verses that every child of God should know. When we're told there in 2 Timothy 3:16 and 17, what? That all Scripture is given by inspiration of God, and it's what? It's profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instructions in righteousness. What's the purpose of this? He tells us there, verse 17, that the man of God may be what? Perfect, thoroughly furnished unto all good work. And no doubt, like the elect lady in 2 John, along with Eunice and Lois, they sought to convey the truth to their children and grandchildren. They were faithful to their soul. They were faithful to the souls of their posterity. And so, yes, this elect lady, okay, this elect mother, 2 John, were convinced that the Word of God was the rule in faith, was the rule of their faith and practice. And so, I love this. I believe, like any child of God, with simple faith, they believed the Scriptures. They believed the Word of God. They didn't question it. No, they didn't look for mistakes, for the original manuscripts and all that. They should receive the Scriptures as it were. I think Eunice and Lois did this also because they raised up Timothy, how? In the Scriptures. And they believed that the Word of God was preserved for them and preserved for every generation. And I believe that God has preserved His Word even for this 21st generation also. I mean, whatever portion of Scripture they had, probably a little bit of the Old Testament, a little bit of the New Testament, the whole point is what? They believed it was the Word of God. And so they undertook the responsibility of what? Of raising their children in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. They made application of what we were told in the Old Testament. Remember what we're told in the Old Testament that is so important in Deuteronomy 6. It says, "Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is one God. And thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thine heart, with all thy soul, with all thy mouth. And these words which I command thee this day shall be in thine heart. And thou shalt teach them diligently unto thy children, and talk of them when thou sittest in thine house, when thou walkest in the way, and when thou liest down, and when thou raisest up." He continues and he said, "And thou shalt bind them for a sign upon thy heart, and they shall be as frontlets between thine eyes, and thou shalt write them upon the posts of thine house and upon thy gate. My whole point is that this elect mother, she knew something of the Scriptures and tried to teach them to her children. Because John does tell him that he rejoiced that he found the elect lady's children walking in the truth. And so, I love again what it says there in 2 Timothy about Timothy being taught the Scriptures by Lois and from Eunice. And no doubt, I believe Timothy taught them to his own children. And so, what faithfulness to a faithful message. I mean, from the first generation to the second generation to the third generation. I love that, especially in the life of Timothy. You got grandma, the first generation, Lois, the second generation, and then Timothy. All the way through, as what the Scripture said. And what a blessing. And so, it is one thing to have the Bible in your hand, but it's another thing to have it in your heart. And I love what it says there in Psalm 119, verse 11. "Thy word have I hid in mine heart, that I might not sin against thee." That is hiding His word in our hearts, my dear, and it's so important. Memorizing Scripture and teaching them to our children. And so they thoroughly believed what God said, what the Bible said, and they were persuaded what? That all Scripture is given by inspiration of God. And it's profitable what? For doctrine, for reproof, correction, for instructions of righteousness. It is so important. In other words, again, they didn't question the Word of God. They didn't look if there were any mistakes in the Bible and all that. No, they, by simple faith, they trusted the Word of God and they taught it to their children. They believe in the inspiration of the Scriptures. They believe that the Word of God was infallible, that the Word of God was inerrant. And they trusted every bit of it, for they taught it to their own children. And they clearly understood that the Word of God was needful and essential for salvation, faith, knowledge of God, the truth concerning God, Christ, the Holy Spirit, salvation. They were all of supreme importance. And I believe they even understood the importance of the inspiration, revelation, preservation, authority, sufficiency, the illumination of the scriptures, all of this. Why? They were fully convinced that they had something from God in the Bible, and these truths were so important to them that they gave themselves to it and they taught their children these truths. There's so much here, my dear one, but we must move on. And therefore, the importance of knowing the truth and conveying this glorious treasure to the posterity, to our posterity, as it says there, to the elect lady or the elect mother did, I believe. And then secondly, we have the importance of a godly mother walking in the truth in verses 4-6. It says, I rejoice greatly that I found thy children walking in truth as we received the commandment from the Father. Now I beseech thee, lady, not as though I wrote a new commandment unto thee, but that which we have from the beginning, that we love one another. And this is love, that we walk after his commandment. And this is the commandment that, as ye have heard from the beginning, ye should walk in it. Oh, dear mothers, for the matter, really, we should say all believers, it is one thing to know the truth. It is a totally different thing to be found walking in the truth. The Apostle John is still admonishing this elect lady, this elect mother, as found in verse 5. He said, I beseech thee, lady. And it centers around what? Walking in the truth. Look at verse 6 again. The clear admonition given to this elect lady of walking in the truth. John references it twice in verse 6. He said, and this is love, that one, we walk after his commandment. This is the commandment that you have heard from the beginning. This is the second time that you should walk in it. Okay? But the Apostle John then begins the next section with the greatest news I think that any parent can hear, and that is in verse 4. I greatly rejoice that I found of thy children walking in truth. That is so glorious. There's nothing more glorious than to know that not only are we walking in the truth, but our children also. And so you see, walking in the truth means putting into practice what? The truth. It means living out the truth in your life. But remember, it all begins also with you mothers instructing your children. Okay? Instructing your children the Lord as they're little. To convey, communicate to your children, so that one day they might be found walking in the truth. And so, mother, you still have children and they're lost. Pray for them. And do not stop praying till God saves them. Pray unceasingly for them. Mother, praying for your children is very essential, and don't forget that. But then on the other side of the coin, mothers, you have children walking in the truth. Encourage them to continue serving God. Encourage them to serve God in sincerity and truth. As Joshua said there in Joshua 24:14, now therefore fear the Lord and serve him in sincerity and in truth. If you have children walking in the truth, pray for them also, that they would continue in the truth. Again, I'm reminded of the words of Peter that he wrote to the elect people, but since we're talking about the elect lady, it would include her. But I believe mothers can apply this also to their children. I love that verse in 2 Peter 1:12. I read it to you. It said, wherefore, I will not be negligent to put you always in remembrance of these things, though you know them, and be established in the present truth. That's the whole point. It was written to all those who are saved, but I believe that mothers, we can apply this to their children, that their children will be established in the present truth, and that they would retain this truth. Here are some verses that maybe you can pray. There's so many that you would pray for your children as godly mothers. Why? Because, first of all, number one, we need to be concerned in being led in the truth. Psalm 25:5, it says, lead me in thy truth and teach me, for thou art my God and my salvation. Psalm 43:3, oh, send out thy light and thy truth. Let them lead me. Very clear. Secondly, we're to be committed to the truth. Psalm 40, verse 11. Withhold not thy tender mercies from me, O Lord. Let thy loving kindness and thy truth continually preserve me. Psalm 86, 11. Teach me thy way, O Lord. I will walk in thy truth. And then we are to continue in the truth. Psalm 119, 30. I have chosen the way of the truth. Proverbs 3:3. Let thy mercy and let not mercy and truth forsake thee. Bind them upon the neck, write them upon the tablet of thine heart. And of course, one of my favorite ones is in Proverbs 23:23. I love to quote this a lot, and it says, "Buy the truth and sell it not." It's amazing when I used to work at the pharmacy. There was always a guy there would say something. He says, "What does the Bible say?" I said, "The Bible says, buy the truth and sell it not." I don't know how many times I told him that. And he would just look at me and shake his head and walk away. But that's the essay. Yes, buy the truth and sell it not. Not forsaking the truth. And so, yes, mother, make sure you're walking in the truth. And convey this to your children that you can rejoice and say, as it says in verse 4 of 2 John, I greatly rejoice that I found thy children walking in the truth. What a blessing. And then quickly, and thirdly, the importance of a godly mother abiding in the truth. Again, 2 John in verse 7, John now says, "For many deceivers are entered into the world, who confess not that Jesus Christ is come in the flesh. This is a deceiver and an antichrist. Look to yourself that we lose not those things which we have wrought, but that we receive a full reward. Whosoever transgressed and abided not in the doctrine of Christ had not God, but he that abided in the doctrine of Christ, he had both the Father and the Son. If there come any unto you and bring not this doctrine, receive him not into your house, neither bid him Godspeed. For he that biddeth Godspeed is partaker of his evil deeds. Having many things to write unto you, I would not write with paper and ink, but I trust to come unto you and speak face to face, that our joy may be full. The children," there it is again, "of thy elect sister greet thee. Amen." And so, what a blessing that we see here. So the Apostle John now enforce the elect lady or the elect mother of why it is important of knowing the truth and walking the truth. Why? Because John starts out by saying there's many deceivers in the world. There's many false prophets in the world. Many antichrists in the world. As a matter of fact, in his first epistle in 1 John 2:18, the Apostle John wrote and said, "Little children, it is the last time, and as ye have heard that the antichrist shall come, even now are there," what? "Many antichrists," plural. Whereby we know that it is the last time. And then, in the same epistle, in 1 John, in chapter 4, he says in verses 1 to 3, "Beloved, believe not every spirit, but try the spirit whether they are of God. Because many false prophets have gone into the world. Hereby know ye the Spirit of God. Every spirit that confesseth that Jesus Christ is come in the flesh is of God. And every spirit that confesseth not that Jesus is come in the flesh is not of God. And this is that spirit of Antichrist, whereof ye have heard that it should come, and even now already in this world." And again he uses the word many, not few, but many Antichrists and false prophets in the world. In the same chapter, in 1 John 4, verses 46, he continues by saying, "You are of God, little children, and have overcome them, because greater is he that is in you than is in the world. They are of the world, therefore speak they of the world, and the world heareth them. We are of God. He that knoweth God heareth us. He that is not of God heareth not us. Hereby," I love this, "hereby we know the spirit of truth and the spirit of error. And because we're in Christ, again, we know the spirit of truth, and we also know what error is. And therefore, what a warning to all believers, but in particular this morning to the elect mothers, of knowing the truth, walking the truth, but even more importantly, of abiding in the truth for the purpose that we might be able to guard the truth. You see, the Apostle John tells us very clearly, and even toward the end of the second epistle, that he had so many things to write about in verse 12. But as a whole, the second epistle is written on the importance of what? Of the truth. That is, not to take it for granted, but to safeguard the truth. And so may God grace us to serve him again in sincerity and in truth. In 2 Samuel 12:24, we're told, "Only fear the Lord, serve him in truth with all of your heart." So powerful. And you can only abide in the truth if you serve Him in the truth with all your heart. And so the Word of God speaks not only to mothers, but all individual Christians and believers regarding the truth. But even as a whole, in general terms, the church. Because the church is also to be grounded in the truth. You remember what Paul told Timothy in 1 Timothy 3:15? But if I tarried long, that thou mayest know how thou oughtest to behave thyself in the house of God, which is the church of the living God, the pillar and ground of truth. And therefore we ought to, what? Contend for the truth, my dear ones. If we're going to be the pillar and ground of truth, we ought to contend for the truth. And by contending for the truth, I simply mean defending the truth. And as naming the name of Christ, and even as mothers, we are to contend for the truth. And again, this involves so much conviction and commitment to the Word of God. I found it very interesting that in the New Testament, the word contend is only used one time. And it's used by Jude when he wrote in Jude 3, and he said, "Beloved, when I gave all diligence to write unto you of the common salvation, it was needful for me to write unto you and exhort you that what? That you should earnestly contend for the faith." Now, he's talking about the doctrinal faith, which would be the truth. "That you earnestly contend for the faith, which was one delivered unto the saints." And so this short epistle, you should know, of Jude is written, what? To expose false prophets. Because he tells us there in verse 4, "For there are certain men crept in unawares, who were before ordained to this condemnation, ungodly men, turning the grace of God into lasciviousness, and denying the only Lord and the only Lord God and our Lord Jesus Christ." And so yet many, they want to creep into the church and teach false doctrine. And this is why the Apostle John is instructing the elect lady or the elect mother concerning the truth to make it known to her children. So much is at stake. So can you, mothers, as an elect lady, elect mother, personalize these truths with that holy conviction cemented in your hearts to serve God, binding them upon the tables of your heart? Elect mother, can you say with me, "I will be persuaded of the truth of the Bible. I will embrace the truth of the Bible. I will confess the truth of the Bible. I will walk in the truth of the Bible. I will love the truth of the Bible. I will serve God by the truth of the Bible. I will teach my children the truth of God. Therefore, I will know, walk, and abide in the truth of the Bible." It's so important to understand that. And again, I'm not just asking for lip service, for you to repeat the words that I just said. No, I'm asking to do it with a willing heart, to serve the living and true God in sincerity and in truth. And so may God grace all the elect mothers to conquer any type of compromising spirit and to take a stand for the Lord Jesus Christ. And may God grace all you elect mothers to be strong Christians and not be weak, compromising, vacillating Christians who can bring a reproach to the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. And again, may God grace you elect mothers to have a hearing ear and a willing heart this morning to have that sanctified, holy conviction in your service to God. Again, what amazing conviction by the Apostle John in writing to and encouraging elect mothers to what? To take a stand for the truth. Elect mothers, have a heart of Joshua and declare like Joshua and say, as Joshua said many years ago when he said, "As for me and my house, we will serve the Lord." I mean, what conviction? You know, it kind of reminds me of that blessed hymn that we love to sing. Which says, "The Master is calling. The Master is calling and wants us to cast our lot to Him." So mothers, are you willing to cast your lot with the truth of God? Wow. Please understand, mothers, I'm just reminding you of what basically you have already pledged in believing and trusting Christ in the day of your salvation. Which means, again, that you have to follow Him and serve Him with a willing heart. You know, the Puritans all had good questions and good answers. But one of the questions is that, what is Christianity? And the Puritans would say, "Christianity is but the life of God in the soul of man." So mothers, is the life of God in your soul this morning? That's what it boils down to. And so, dear mothers, God is interested in your heart. For that matter, God is interested in my heart, because when it's all said and done, it is all about the heart. This is where all the battles are fought, in the heart. And if our hearts are set upon God when trials and circumstances come into our life, we're able to trust Him. But if our hearts are vacillating back and forth, questioning so many things about the Bible, you're going to have problems. You know, one of my favorite verses regarding this, entrusting God with all our heart, found in the book of Daniel. Don't turn there, I'll just read it to you in Daniel 1 verse 8. And I know I shared this more than once, but I want to share it again. When it says, but Daniel purposed in his heart. I love that. So much conviction. Daniel purposed in his heart that he would not defile himself with the portion of the king's meat, nor with the wine which he drank. Therefore he requested of the prince of the eunuch that he might not defile himself. As I said before, they could change his name, but they could not change his heart. And that's what we need, a godly heart in serving our God. To serve our God in such a holy conviction that will not capitulate or succumb to the pressures of this world attacked against Christianity. You know, the Apostle Paul deals with this issue when he wrote to the book of Romans, and he says there in Romans 12, 1 and 2, I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service, and be not conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable, perfect will of God. You see, from the time we're born into this world, we are being conformed into this world system. And if you're a professing Christian, at some point God came into your life, changed you, gave you a new heart, saved your soul, and now you start seeing things through the eyes of God. And then we start to read the Bible, and we realize God's truth, and we know that it is the right way, the only way, and how that the world is diametrically opposed to this truth, and that His written word, as we grow in the grace and knowledge, we make many decisions and changes in our lives, and we realize that we must be transformed by the renewing of our mind by the Word of God. And it is a lifetime project until the day we die and go to God in heaven. Because until the day we die, there'll be a constant assault of the world's secular humanistic view against us, along with the battle of the sin, flesh, and devil, and all those things that come against us. Therefore, the importance of what? Of walking and abiding in the truth, dear mothers. It is so important. So important. And so, elect mothers, Christian mothers, may God help you and grace you that you give Him your best. Remember, God gave us His best when He sent His only begotten Son into this world. So He doesn't expect any less from us. We have to give Him our best. And so, dear mothers and all followers of Christ, let us give Him our heart and serve Him with that willing and sincere heart, so that when our days are over on this earth, we can have great confidence and say, we have served our God in sincerity and in truth. So let us have this conviction as mothers, as fathers in our household, that we can say, as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. That is a holy conviction we must have. And if you are a mother and you're not saved, may God please speak to your heart this morning and draw you to Him. If you're outside Jesus Christ, come to Him this morning. Come in repentance toward God and faith to the Lord Jesus Christ. Come to Him who said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. That you would be a mother that would want to seek the truth of God. And those of you who do name the Lord Jesus Christ this morning and are in Christ, may God again strengthen you and grace you and sustain you. And may God help you that you would take a stand for His truth. Therefore, mothers, be instructed by the Apostle John, and may you be found not only knowing the truth, walking the truth, but abiding in the truth in the service to our living and true God. Therefore, be a mother who loves the truth. Let's pray. Oh, Heavenly Father, such an important message to remind mothers of their God-given responsibility. Lord, we don't say for one moment that it is easy, because there's so many things that come against us. Even the own rebellion of our own children and struggles that we might have in our own houses. But it does not take away of having that conviction that no matter what, we confess, as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. And so, Lord, may you bless this morning and bless all those who are mothers. Grace them and strengthen them, Lord. And we thank you again for this day that you've given us. For we ask all this in your blessed and holy name. Amen. We thank you again for being with us through the means of Facebook. May God bless you, and to all of you, your mothers, happy Mother's Day. God bless. Amen.